And now, Ben Bailey.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Why must a Christian make sure if he can never be unsure? Be sure, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Wait a minute. If I'm a Christian, I'm sure, and if once saved, always saved is true, I don't have to worry about being unsure. Why be diligent? Why must I be diligent to make my calling and election sure? Well, 2 Peter 1:10 answers in the last part. Make sure so that we don't stumble and ultimately be lost. Friend, if I can never be lost, this verse has no meaning. Why do I need to make sure? Why do I need to be diligent? What do I got to worry about stumbling for if I can never, ever fall? And so, yes, the Scriptures do teach that I can be lost. In fact, we can see this even as a principle of God relating to man from the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24 is probably one of the clearest pictures of God's relation with man and man's relation with sin if he gets involved in it. Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 24, and notice the Bible says, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done, listen, shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Listen, because of them he shall die." Now, notice from the text, this is a righteous man, one who is right with God, one who's living the way he ought to at first, but then he gets involved in abomination, wickedness, and thus it's possible for him to sin and turn away from God. And what does the text say? All that righteousness which he has done, it shall not be remembered. If he gets involved in sin, he shall die because of that sin. And again, the dying represents the spiritual death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul who sins shall surely die. We're talking about spiritual separation. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, our sins separate us from a loving God. The wages of those sin is spiritual death. Romans 6:23, and if a man remains in them, he'll perish for all eternity. And so again, look at this clear example. A man who's righteous gets involved in sin, and God says that righteousness is not going to help him anymore. He's going to be lost unless he changes his ways. Think about 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's a picture of a Christian who gets caught up in sin again. His life becomes turned over to sin. What happens to this man? Is he still in a good, upright, noble state in that sin? No, it's quite the opposite. It's a disgusting picture. 2 Peter 2, verse 20 says, "For if," talking about Christians, "after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome." Listen to this. The latter end, their entanglement in sin after becoming Christian, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Why? "It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire." Look at the clear language here. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, that is, if after they've been cleansed from their sin, they've obeyed the gospel, they're Christians, they get entangled in them again, and they're overcome. There's a clear picture of a Christian whose sins overtake him again. He says, if this happens, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of truth than to turn from the holy commandment. Well, how can it be better for them, their first, better than the last? Because now they have tasted the good things of Christ. Now they know exactly what they're missing out on, and how horrible will it be for that person who was a child of God, who had all the blessings of God, and who's sitting in hell saying, "If I'd only remained faithful, I could have been in heaven." How can it be that these people are not in a lost state here? Well, it's clear that they are. Look at the disgusting images used. Having washed, returns to her wallowing in the mire. Is that a picture of someone who's still saved? Another clear example is found in the book of Revelation. In the letters to the seven congregations, Jesus commends these congregations for their good works, and he also points out sin that if they don't change will cause them to be lost. Revelation 3:5 is one of the clearest examples of how a Christian can ultimately be lost. Notice these words. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, Jesus is saying, if you're faithful, if you overcome, if you don't give in, I won't blot your name out. Now, wait a minute. That implies that there is a real possibility that those in the church, Christians, can have their names blotted out of the book of life. Why would Jesus make that statement if the possibility doesn't exist? If Jesus says, you overcome, you be faithful, I'll not blot your name out, you've also got to realize, implied from that is, if you don't be faithful, if you don't overcome, you will have your name blotted out of the book of life. And so this is a very strong teaching. Someone in the church, someone who is a child of God, can be blotted out of God's book and lost if he doesn't remain faithful. Well, let's deal with probably the most famous passage, which those who believe, once saved, always saved, often use. There are passages that are misused, whose true teaching is not pointed out, that people try to say, well, doesn't this teach the idea you're saying isn't true? And one of those is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Notice the words of 1 John 3 verse 9. The Bible says, whoever's been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Is this passage teaching that it is impossible for a Christian to sin? Well, we've already looked at multiple examples in the rest of the Bible where that's not true. But let's notice that if this idea is true, it's not in accord with what John himself teaches in 1 John. For example, 1 John 1 verse 8, John says, if we say that we have no sin, writing to Christians, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. John's already said, if you take the view of 1 John 3, 9 saying you don't sin, you make God a liar. That's not true. 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2, John says, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he's the propitiation for our sins. And so John says, don't say you don't sin. You do sin. And when you do sin, you've got a way to deal with it. And so even in the book of 1 John, the idea here cannot be that we never sin. What is this verse teaching? The original Greek words here are in the continual case. The idea is if we continue to live a life of sin, we cannot be saved. John is teaching that a Christian cannot stay saved and continue in a life of sin. The Greek word for sin is continual in its action, and all the Greek scholars and lexicons agree that John is saying a Christian cannot continue in sin and still be pleasing to God. He envisions here not just a one-time act, but a continual lifestyle of sin. For example, the English Standard Version, NIV, and other passages translate it this way. No one born of God, here it is, makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. 1 John 3 and verse 9. And that's really the sense of the language. As we noted, John's already said we do sin. If we say we don't, we'll make God a liar. When we do, we've got an advocate, Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we do sin, but we cannot be faithful to God and keep living a life of sin. You know, the very passage, 1 John 3, 9, that these people use to teach once saved, always saved, when it's looked at correctly, teaches the exact opposite. You can't continue to live in sin and say you've got God's Word in your heart and I'm a faithful child of God. It teaches the exact opposite. When it's correctly translated, correctly understood, it teaches the opposite of once saved, always saved. And so we ask you, have you bought into the idea that once you become a Christian, you can never, ever be lost? Well, that's not true. Jesus said this, "Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life." Revelation 2, verse 10. A person can so sin as to lose his eternal soul. But here's the good news. Although it's a possibility, God doesn't want it to happen, and He's given us everything we need to overcome sin. God doesn't want anyone to be lost, but all to come to salvation. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God's not slow concerning His promises, as some men count slowness, but He's long-suffering toward us. Listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. God doesn't want us to be lost, and God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us the tools we need to be saved. God's given us the Bible. It is the living, powerful Word of the Almighty God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. This Word, if put into our heart, is able to help us live correct lives. Psalm 119, 105. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And if we put the Word of God into our heart, it will help prevent sin in our life. And so in this first lesson, in answering denominational doctrines, let's clearly understand. God says a Christian can so sin as to be lost. If you buy into the idea of once saved, always saved, though it may be comforting, friend, it will ultimately cost you your soul, because you're not watching for sin. You're not maybe repenting of that sin like you ought to, and you don't think that sin can cause you to be lost anyway. And so may God help each of us to be good students of the Bible, to contend for the faith, and to say, as God says clearly in Scripture, we must be faithful until death.